I'll be reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Martha has chosen the good part, which will not be taken from her." You may be seated.
Just briefly, Joe asked me if I would share with you guys a little bit about our weekend that we had at Lads Leaders Convention. I want to preface something about Lads Leaders that some individuals may not understand. If you ever feel as if we do Lads Leaders for the competition and the winning aspect, I promise you we don't even think that at all. My goal for our kids is not to come home with a trophy. It's to stand before a crowd to lead the church today and in the future. And that's what we focus on. So just as a way of recap, just want to share with you kind of a couple of things that we did while we were at Lads Leaders. This year was an incredible year. I would ask all of the young people to stand. I'm not going to do it because I know they wore out. But this year, this is what all our young people at Florence Boulevard participated in on Friday and Saturday night throughout the weekend. We had individuals who led singing. We had young females who led singing with young ladies. We had 16 individuals receive a platinum award for Good Samaritan. We had an additional 9 who received an award for gold. We had an additional 6 for silver and 2 for bronze. Our young people served a lot this year, and we're really proud of them. We had 3 puppet teams this year. All 3 of our puppet teams placed as finalists. Even our youngest puppet team, which has all of the kids on that team except for 2, are actually too young to compete. But they competed on a 5th-grade level and were finalists. They did an incredible job. We had an individual Bible Bowl team who was also a top finalist out of about 122 teams this weekend. They did an incredible job. We had young men and young women do oral Bible reading, speech, Bible Bowl, art says it. We had 3 new debate teams along with a fourth debate team that continued from last year. We had 7 guys honored for year-round song leading. We had 4 young ladies honored for year-round songs of praise. We had 4 young ladies receive year-round bulletin board awards. We had 7 people receive mass media awards. We had 7 people receive year-round speech awards. We had 12 top-scoring Pearls test, and we also had 2 top-scoring and also in the Bible Bowl test. This weekend alone, our young people, they worked incredibly hard. They made every one of us proud, and they did a lot of good things for the Lord's kingdom this weekend. I wished every one of us had the privilege to sit and watch some of our young people lead singing this weekend. I'm going to mention one of our young people, Daniel Ross. This morning, they do a big worship service where everybody at convention worships on Sunday morning together. And Daniel led singing for that worship of about 14,000 people this morning. Did a phenomenal job. And I don't say all of this so that you will brag and say our kids are winners. I do that because I want you to know that the Lord's church is in good hands and our young people are growing in their works and the different various works of the Lord. And we're extremely proud of them. We had an awesome weekend with our parents and our adult chaperones. They made it like clockwork. If you've ever been, you know that getting to 75 different rooms in an hour window is really difficult, and all of our adult helpers have always been phenomenal, and we really appreciate everybody with your support and your involvement in Lads Leaders. Thank you.
Thank you, Cody. And I will tell you this, that there are a lot of hands that go into making Lads to Leaders in the congregational level what it is, but I want to thank Cody and Ashley for your hard work, Todd and Joy for your hard work, and providing the food. Obviously, we enjoyed that a lot. But to the parents, there's a lot about Lads to Leaders that is individual. And so to the parents who helped, to the individual directors and coordinators of the events, I want to say thank you. I will say this, and I appreciate Cody taking the time to bring us up to speed. The Lads to Leaders convention filled 94% to capacity of the Gaylord Opryland Hotel this year. There were 378 new individuals that did not come last year, but 94%, if you've ever been to that hotel, you know that is a huge hotel. But that's how many people showed up for the Lads to Leader and Leaderette convention. It was wonderful. And I want to encourage our members here. You see a young person, ask them about their experience. Most of ours went. If they didn't compete or participate, they went to look and to see. Let them tell you about it. And I want to encourage you this as well. In the future, there may be an opportunity for you to bless the young people, even though your kids are already grown up and out of the house, to have you sitting there in their rooms while they give their speeches and lead their songs and do their puppet skits. I will tell you this, those are the impacts that will be made on young people beyond your years. And I know they will enjoy that. So consider that for next year, maybe where you go simply to support. And it might be a pretty neat outing for you. Let's go ahead and go to our Father in prayer. And we're going to get right into our lesson today. I don't know how to say this appropriately. I see a lot of people fanning. If we could check the air conditioner, that would be great. Perhaps maybe it cut off. Perhaps maybe we're just all sweating. But either way, go ahead and give it a check. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for blessing us with the opportunity to be here tonight. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for bringing those who were at the Lads to Leader and Leaderette Convention, thank you for bringing them home safely today. Heavenly Father, we pray that you're glorified in what we do here tonight. Our goal is to bring you honor and glory. We want to lift your name, and we want to glorify your name. So, Lord, as we sing songs of praise to you, we pray that it's well-pleasing. As we pray before you, we pray that humble submission to you is well-pleasing. And as we dive into your word and to hear what you would have us to understand and to glean what you would have us to glean, Lord, we pray that it's well-pleasing. Help us to have hearts that are open to receiving your word. Help us to have minds that are open to receiving your word. And I pray that I stay out of your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray tonight. Amen. Go ahead and open your Bibles if you haven't already done so to Luke chapter 10. We're going to continue on this evening with our journey through Luke. And as a beginning concept, I want to tell you kind of where we're going. In 2014, this particular article came about regarding the greatest worry that had existed for adults at that time. And at that time, the Gallup survey had pegged that retirement was the greatest issue concerning American adults. Now, it might surprise you that that has not changed. The reality is that when it comes to the concept of worry and what we spend time thinking about, we oftentimes will think about the close of one chapter of our life and the opening of another chapter. We'll think about health concerns. We'll think about issues that might impact our quality of living. And it's not just that we think about them. The truth of the matter is sometimes we obsess about them. Sometimes we actually get what the Bible says is worried or anxious. When you go throughout the medical field, you do a general search on the impact that worry has on this country. And it's interesting to note that there are 20,000 suicides each year. And those would be pegged to be tied to things like worry and anxiety. You have ulcers that can develop within your own body because you stress and you strain about things of which maybe you can have an impact on and then maybe you cannot. High blood pressure and heart ailments exist and are real things in this world. We even have the ability to have anxiety attacks which will mimic what some would say are heart attacks. You really look at the concept of health problems. When it comes to the element of worry, you begin to understand why it is that worry is such a serious subject and why our Heavenly Father, through His Son Jesus, would address such an issue. That's where we're at tonight in Luke chapter 10 and dealing with Mary and Martha. Now, I will say this. This is a passage of Scripture, and it seems that the more we go through the book of Luke, the more you say, well, Joe, I've studied that all my life, and I've taught that, and you would be probably right in this case as well. But tonight I want to, I guess, address just a couple concepts with you, and then the lesson is yours. And the idea behind Mary and Martha with Jesus here is the concept of why and what. Why was it happening and what was Jesus talking about? Well, to begin with, I want you to consider the cause of the worry of Martha. You and I know the Bible reads verse 38 and following of Luke chapter 10. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered, he being Jesus, a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered, verse 41, and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." I ask you, why was Martha worried? Well, you and I look at this, and sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get too in-depth from a theological standpoint. I just want you to stay very, very practical with me tonight. Why would Martha be worried about so many things? I mean, after all, if somebody were to come to your house, I don't know what goes through your mind and what would have to be done. I know in some homes, there's cleaning that has to be done, right? And there's vacuuming that has to be done. Oh, we're having so-and-so over tonight. We better make sure the living room is clean. I don't know why the living room needs to be clean, because that's the room they're going to what? See? You do it too, huh? I mean, after all, we can shut some of the doors back, you know, back in the back of the house. They don't have to go back there. But we're going to make sure what they see is clean. Now, on top of all of that, you're having somebody over to your house. Maybe you're having a meal. And it's the whole idea of we better make sure we have enough. And I don't know why it is, but when people come over, usually the meals kind of step up and a little bit. Maybe the fine china comes out, whereas a napkin or a paper plate might work otherwise. Sometimes, you know what, when people come over, you actually have dessert with that meal, whereas otherwise, maybe you don't normally have dessert at your house. Somebody says, "I have dessert all the time at my house." Well, you know, I wish that were the case, but not for me, right? I got to invite people over or go out to eat, but sometimes get that. But the idea behind that is this. Sometimes we get so worked up over everything that we get consumed. And instead of enjoying having somebody come over to your house, it actually becomes a burden. You say, "No, Joe, we do that because we want to honor people." And you're right. That's why we do that. But have you ever felt like maybe everybody else in your family wasn't pulling their weight? They weren't pulling their load when it came to getting ready. So you feel kind of put out. I'm doing all this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. I'm doing this. All the while they're just doing that one thing, and I could really use help, they're really not picking up the slack. And you just want to lash out and you want to say, "Hey, wait a second. This isn't fair. This isn't fair that I'm doing all of this." And you look and you allow Martha just to be a regular person, and all of a sudden you can begin to identify with her. I found it quite interesting, and I talked with a brother here this morning, that oftentimes when we read the Bible, we will put ourselves and we will identify ourselves with the person in the account in the positive position. In other words, 9 times out of 10, we're going to identify with Mary. "Well, yeah, that's what I would do if I were there. I would be sitting at Jesus' feet. That's what I would be doing." But I'm going to tell you something. Far too often in life, we identify with Martha in this case. That's what I want you to see in this. I want you to identify with an individual who wants to have everything prepared just right for Jesus. And so she gets worked up and she comes to Jesus. It's quite interesting. I don't know. In communication, it's called triangulation. It's not healthy, but it's where you go to somebody. Instead of going to Mary, she goes to Jesus. She should have just gone to Mary, right? "Mary, come on, help me out." But she goes to Jesus, so Jesus will go to Mary. It's called triangulation. And Jesus responds to that, and he says, "Martha," and he uses a concept. He says, "You are worried and bothered about so many things." Why was she worried and bothered? Well, you go up a little bit earlier in verse 40. The Bible says, "But Martha was distracted." That word in the original language literally means to draw around. If I were to have a whiteboard up here and I had a marker and I just started drawing, and you'd say, "Joe, what are you drawing?" And I would say, "I have no idea. I'm just moving my marker." That's what that word means in the original language. The reason that she got bothered and the reason she got worried is because she was drawing around. She wasn't centered in on the correct picture. It was not about the picture. It was just about the marker on the board. Have you ever felt that life sometimes gets that way for you? that you lose sight of a concept of I'm supposed to be drawing a picture, and all it feels like is that my marker is moving on the board, and at the end of the day, I look back at it, and people say, hey, what'd you do today? And you show them your board, and you're like, eh, that's what I did. And that's why you go to bed that night feeling like you were distracted, feeling like you didn't accomplish anything, feeling like you were here and like you were there. Well, in this particular case, this is a study of what it looks like to be drawing around. And unfortunately, it leads to things. Number one, it leads to Mary feeling like Martha's not doing something right. But it also leads to a self-inflicted issue. See, sometimes the worry, anxiety that we have in our life, I need to say this, we impose that upon ourselves. It's not that my circumstances have done it. It's the way that I've responded to my circumstances that have done that. It's not that that person did it. It's the way that I responded to that person. Oh, our circumstances can be tough, and that person may need to do more. But the truth is that when I become anxious and I become bothered, that I've got to realize it's because of the way I responded. It's been said before that in this particular case, Martha is like a runner who is not concerned about the finish line, yet she's like the runner who's running around and noticing everybody else who's running by him or her, looking up in the stands, noticing what everybody in the stands are doing instead of remaining focused upon her race. She had elevated many things to the level of importance, but the truth of the matter is Mary had stayed focused. And that's what you look at when you continue to see this, is that Jesus, instead of rebuking Mary, he goes back to Martha, in describing what she's doing, and he says this in verse 42, but only one thing is necessary. Wait a second, here's Martha drawing around, worrying about the preparations. She's running here and there. Is the food going to be right? What's the house like? How's Jesus doing? Hey, you need a glass of tea? Hey, Mary, get up and do some stuff. And Jesus says, there's only one thing that's necessary. Could you imagine living life as if only one thing were necessary? Can you imagine how much focus you would have? Can you imagine how much you would rid yourself in life of the distractions, and how much of a perspective would come into be when it comes to the subject of raising children, going to school, having a job, interacting with those within your community, within your social groups, and you start recognizing, wait a second, there's only one thing. There's only one thing. That at the end of the day, I need to focus on one thing. And you'd look at that and you'd say, wow, if life could really be that simple, right? If life could be that simple, and I want to offer this to you tonight, life really can be that simple. It doesn't mean that you have to stop raising your children, going to school, going to work, having a family, having the interactions that you have within your social community, dealing with health problems and doctors. It doesn't mean any of that goes away. What it does mean is this, that you live your life responding to their circumstances and the people within your life with there being one thing that is necessary. What's that one thing? Verse 42. For Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken away from her. You think about what Jesus said there. Number one, he said this, that Mary made a choice. You understand tonight that worry is a choice. Being bothered is a choice. Being busy in life is a choice. Somebody may say, well, Joe, you don't understand my life. My life is just busy. Yo, I get busy. But I need you to understand this as well. You have a choice to make as to what you busy yourself with. You don't understand, Joe. My job has da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da and requires da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Then I would say this. Then why don't you quit your job? Why don't you change your job? Well, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. It's very easy. You go to your boss and you hand in a letter of resignation. No, you don't understand. If I do that, then I'll have to get another job. Okay, then go get another job that doesn't require da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No, you don't understand. I like my job. Okay, then you are choosing to remain in that job. Is that what I understand? Yes, I'm choosing. Then you just made a choice. You made a choice to continue with whatever busyness that you had. Nobody's imposing that upon you. You chose that. You see, sometimes we look at this and we say, well, you don't understand. I would choose differently if I could. You always have the choice. If it's not to change your circumstances, it's how you respond to your circumstances. You have a choice how to look at bad news from the doctor. You have a choice how to look at being removed from a job. You have a choice how to approach the difficulties and the stress and the strain. You see, you have a choice. And Mary had a choice. And Martha had a choice. And Jesus brings that out when he says, she has chosen the good part. I would also say this, that not everything you can choose is good. Not everything you can choose is good. Is it wrong that Martha wants to make sure everything's in order for Jesus? I'm not sure I would say it's wrong. But is it causing adverse effects in the life of Martha? Yes, it is. I'm not so sure I can say it's wrong to want to make sure Jesus has a well-prepared meal or has a positive experience in their house. But what I do know is this, that Jesus does not point to what Martha is doing as the good part. Yet he solidifies that there is one thing necessary. And that is what is called good. You see, in your life, I would say this, there are some options that you could choose, but it doesn't mean all options are good. You say, well, what do you mean by good? Good in the sense of, does it help me in the sense of getting better grades? Does it help me in the sense of my relationship? Does it help me in the sense of my job and my performance, therefore my income or my rising in the company? Well, what do you mean good? I would offer this to you. It depends on how you define good, right? I've oftentimes said that good is a comparative term. Something can be good as compared to one thing, but bad as compared to another. And I've used that illustration. Usually I'll pick somebody in the audience at one of the seminars that I do, and I'll have a guy stand up, you know, and I'll say he's good looking compared to me. You know, usually a little thinner, usually a little bit more hair on top. He's good looking compared to me. But if there was a male model that would walk in the room, he becomes dog ugly real quick. Good is a comparative term. So what is Jesus defining as good? And the only thing I know is this. It's being used against everything else that Mary could be doing at that moment. That's what Martha was doing. Yet Mary was singular in her focus because she understood she had a choice and she wanted to choose the good part. When the Bible says at the end of verse 42, which shall not be taken away from her, the reality is this. When it becomes her only priority, she will not allow anything else to be taken or to interfere with it. In other words, when you truly boil down in your life what is significant and what's important, and if you were to say what is the most important thing in your life, the truth is when you are so focused upon that and you live to that end, then nothing will distract you from that. That's what he's saying. And what is that within this case? Well, for Mary, it was to sit at the feet of Jesus. For Mary, it was to allow Jesus to impact her life. For Mary, it was all of this other stuff may be nice, but it pales in comparison when it comes to being impacted by the Savior. You see, I would offer this to you. When you live with a singleness of focus, not only does it benefit you in your worry and your bothersome, it really will deal with some of that. Some of us are so worried and we're so bothered, but I would offer this to you. It's because we don't live with a singular focus. We live with a focus like Martha was of to draw around or to be distracted. I wonder what things would change in my life if I really lived with one purpose. If I really understood the benefit of just sitting and listening to the Word of God, but allowing that Word to impact my life. Therefore, it changes the way that I live. The things that I used to get worried about, maybe I would no longer get worried about. The things that I used to elevate, maybe I would no longer elevate. Reminds me of Luke chapter 8, verse 14, in the parable of the soils. When the Bible says here, Jesus speaking, the seed which fell among the thorns, these are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to maturity. You see, it's one thing to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's another thing to actually allow the words of Jesus to impact your life. Jesus would say that's the good part. The problem is sometimes we get so distracted, and I would offer this to you. The things that we get distracted about, they really don't matter. Some things do. Some things do. And I'm not suggesting to you that there shouldn't be prayer and concern. In Philippians chapter 4 deals with that concept that we aren't to be anxious for anything, but by prayers and supplications we are to lay down our thoughts, our cares, our, I guess you could call them burdens, the decisions that we make, the health results that we get, lay those down at the feet of the God of peace. And what happens is that the peace that comes from that God will be poured forth upon you when you truly lay it down and let Him handle it. Sometimes there are things that we definitely cannot handle. And I would say this, the Bible is very clear about that. When you give it to God and you trust that God is good and His will needs to be done, it really does change you. It actually gives you peace. You know, when you think about this tonight, the lesson is very simple. It's not a lesson that's meant to be an in-depth theological survey of Luke chapter 10. It's meant to be very practical, and that's this. In this account tonight, who do you identify with, Mary or Martha? I'm not talking about, well, if Jesus were there, what would I do? And of course, I know you're all going to say, because I would say, well, if Jesus were there, I'd sit at His feet. I'd want to hear what He'd have to say. I'd want to ask Him questions. I'm not asking about that. I would take that for granted, that you all would definitely want to sit at the feet of Jesus. So I want to go outside of that, and I want to say this. When you say, who do you identify with, Mary or Martha, I want to hone in more on this. Are you living a distracted life, filled with worry and bothersome? Or are you living a life having chosen the good part of one thing that is necessary? Are you really that focused? Are you living with that focus? And will anything deter you? You see, because when you really boil it down in life, here's the reality, right? I'm not going to shock you, right? It's just the way it is. It's true. One day you and I are both going to die unless Jesus comes back. One day somebody will preach my funeral. Maybe it'll be one of my children. I don't know. One day somebody will preach your funeral. Maybe it's one of your children or one of your favorite ministers or leader that you have interacted with in your past. But the truth of the matter is this. One day you will die. And let me tell you a little secret. Whether or not your house was always clean will not matter in eternity. Whether or not you got the job you wanted won't matter in eternity. Because you can't take any of that with you. The only thing that will matter in eternity is this. Did you boil it down to the good part? And did you live life with one thing that was necessary? I pray tonight that is your focus. I know we're tired. It's been a great weekend. Busy weekend. But I really encourage you during the singing of this invitation song to challenge yourself. Don't just sing the words, but truly ask yourself, do I need to have a change in my priorities? Do I need to have a change in my focus? And if the answer is yes, then make that change right where you stand. It's going to take time. It's a decision, though, that has to be made. But perhaps maybe you need the help of the congregation. Maybe you'd like to come forward. We can pray with you. We can counsel with you. And perhaps tonight one is ready to obey the gospel, putting on the Son of God in baptism and having their sins washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Tonight, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, don't put it off. Come forward. As together we